Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Competition Wednesday. Some of the headlines today are going to include the Falcons in Flowery Branch and our chance to talk to the team ahead of the game against Carolina on Sunday and where they're at as they complete this road trip. Of course, we had the interview with Coach Quinn earlier, and this road trip will be there's no other way to say it. This road trip is going to be a roaring – if they go to Carolina and win, this three-game road trip becomes a roaring success, and they would have handled it – even with a loss to New England, they would have handled it very well. So it's really about this game. Final game of the first half of the season. Win this game in the first half of the season is a success, and this road trip is a success, and that's why this is such an important game in a lot of ways.
Momentum. Yep. You got momentum. You beat the Jets. Now you have to go beat Carolina because now you're talking about separating yourself. In the NFC South, that's the bottom line. New Orleans is playing much better than anybody anticipated, much better. So you have to start winning games in your division so that when you get to these key matchups, they'll be in your favor. You got to get them, bottom line. So, yeah, starting divisional play, you got to get this first one.
Now, of course, the big news yesterday that happened was Kelvin Benjamin getting traded from Carolina to the Buffalo Bills, which was a surprise trade to a lot of people, including me. When you were down your tight end, your star tight end, not that they haven't had production from that spot, but then you trade Kelvin Benjamin. Now, say what you like about his production or maybe his lack thereof. He's such a big frame and a big body, he can be a matchup nightmare, especially for a smaller corner and especially in red zone opportunities. I was just sort of surprised. It's not like Carolina's 1-7. I mean, they're 5-3.
Yeah, and you trade away a guy that you feel was a big piece of what you wanted to do. But like I said, John, he didn't have a great game last week. I think it was the stat that I read was 3 receptions with like 39 yards or something like that.
Right.
So you feel like you can move on from him. And not only that, it gives another guy an opportunity to go out there and become Cam's go-to guy. They must feel comfortable with the young receiver core that they have to make that move. You have to. And somebody just has to step up.
And because Carolina's right in the thick of the chase, their defense has played so well this year. Keekly and Addison and Peppers, they played so well this year that they are very much, they're 5-3. I mean, they're very much alive for not only the wild card, but for the division. Carolina wins this game, they're going to set their sights on winning the NFC South.
Yeah, they're going to put themselves in position, but this also gives a young man, Curtis Samuel, a rookie receiver from Ohio State. He had 7 receptions so far on the season, 47 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get the opportunity to go out there and play. Now, you talk about size, not the biggest guy. 5'11". He's not Kelvin Benjamin's size, 195 pounds, but he's a younger guy, and he's going to get an opportunity to go out there and show what he can do.
It is a big game for the Atlanta Falcons and for the Carolina Panthers, and, of course, a bit of a rivalry game as well, as we know, because we have the I-85 thing that's going on. And then Carolina's trying to tweak this in. I find this so interesting to me, just as a Falcons fan, because I know that a lot of the Carolina Panthers fans really want this to become the rivalry, but I don't think for some fans, it's going to be, and Cam changed the equation. But I've just never felt that the Carolina Panthers were in the same league as that other team that's down to our south along the Gulf Coast. Well, it just never felt that way to me.
Well, being here for a while, I feel like most fans feel more of a hatred for New Orleans than they do Carolina. But I think that this is a budding rivalry. I think because Cam Newton is from here, that has a little bit to do with it. But as far as like the seething hatred for one another, I think most people have that for New Orleans more so than they have for Carolina
because
right now.
The Carolina, the big blog in Carolina said, "Hey, it's hate week." And I went, "Okay, that's cute." But no, hate week doesn't come, and that's down the road.
Yeah, it's funny. Being a part of these division rivalries, it's funny how other people view the hatred that you have for certain teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Cowboys and the Eagles hated each other. Jets had the equal amount of hate. Redskins was the same thing. But I think when you talk about all of the teams that I just mentioned, there's more hate for teams in the division for the Cowboys than there are for everybody else.
Well, that's everybody in the NFL.
Yeah, but it's a weird thing, though, because it's like you look at the Giants, they hate the Cowboys, they hate the Eagles, but they really hate the Cowboys, and it's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Redskins, same thing. So it's really weird how that works.
Yeah, but they, you don't have that one central hate in the NFC South, because as a Falcons fan, to me, it's really about, I hate with a passion the New Orleans Saints, okay? I mean, we all know that, all right? We all understand that it's stinky town, swamp people. Yeah, to you guys, all right? But aside from that, I go, okay, Carolina, and then Tampa, I go, oh, yeah, all right, whatever. I mean, I want to beat them, but, I mean, it's like, okay.
No, it's just a different, like, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about that if I saw you on the street, I would probably punch you in the face kind of hatred for the New Orleans Saints. I mean, I get
that. Well, when they're out punking us in front of our own stadium with, you know, signs before the season, it wasn't even you. I mean, they were trolling us with a gigantic, you know, crew thing that was down in their Mardi Gras. They were in front of our stadium. I'm like, it's not even you. I mean, see, that's the thing. I mean, it's one thing if the Patriots do it because it was them, but when you're pegging off somebody else,
yeah,
who are
but
you?
That's what, because they take great joy. Like, for me, I know that hatred because when the Cowboys lose, I take extreme joy in their loss, like I was on the field playing. So I understand where you're coming from with that. And, you know, even when I was watching the game with Stan Norfleet last week, and the Cowboys started off rocky and the Redskins were winning, I was cheering for the Redskins until the Cowboys started to get that momentum back. And I had to leave because I didn't want to hear his mouth because I didn't want our friendship to change because they were winning and he was chirping. And I got mad, so I left. Because it's like, you know, it's time to leave because the Cowboys are probably going to win this game. Mm-hmm. And I want me and Stan to be cool next week. So I'm leaving. So, yeah, it's kind of like that.
Stan lives in Charlotte?
He lives – like Stan lives in Charlotte. But, yeah, he's a Cowboy. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's funny because when you're watching games with the Cowboy fans and I'm hating on the Cowboys and they're losing, but then when they start winning and he's talking and they're getting louder and it's starting to annoy me, I have to leave because now – we're dealing with friendship issues, and I don't want nothing to come between that because we've been doing really well into that game. And, you know, even when they play the Eagles coming up, that's going to be a problem.
You'll be able to hear Stan Norfleet, of course, as you get ready for the football game beginning 9 a.m. Sunday on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show for the Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. Right now this morning, we have a special guest with us now in studio, head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets men's basketball team, Josh Pastner. It is great to see you again, Coach.
Gentlemen, good to see you. It seems like yesterday we were here before I even started when I got the job, mm-hmm. and then before the season started, and how time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, you got a little gray, Coach. Is that because of the
No, that's
the
just
first
being
season?
A head coach.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
That's just being a head coach. You know, I just turned 40 a few weeks ago, and there's no question, you know, going into my ninth year as a head coach, when I look back at that first picture, mm-hmm. When I was a head coach compared to now, it's either my weight's more and my hair is grayer. So.
Yeah, it's called getting older. Welcome to it. Yeah, yeah, it happens. Well, it's great to have you back in the studio. I know you've got another game coming up here in a couple of days. Well, tomorrow, right?
Yeah, against tomorrow Faulkner? Night versus yeah. Faulkner, yeah.
At McCamish against Faulkner, it's an exhibition game. But looking down, and I want to get to your team, but I want to kind of start right here. Looking down, your first game is in 9 days. Now you're playing
in China,
right? Wow. See, now you just stole it.
Oh, I stole it.
Right,
okay.
I was going to say you're playing UCLA. You're not playing in Atlanta. You're not playing in LA. Where you're going to China, dude?
Yeah, we're in not only. I mean, we're in Shanghai. The amount. Let's see. It's a like. Basically a 16-hour, you know, because we're flying to Detroit and Detroit to Shanghai. Now, this is a Pac-12 deal. So they're paying for everything. And what the Pac-12, the conference, the Pac-12, is trying to get into China. And so this is their deal. Now, the reason they liked us is you know, one, Georgia Tech has a campus in China. But this is the whole thing is the Pac-12 is trying to get, because there's over a billion people there, they're trying to get their brand into China. So they're paying for everything. I mean, they're flying us first class. They're everything with the hotels. I mean, they're doing
wow.
it. So it's really a Pac-12 deal. It's a special deal. And we're there for 9-10 days for one game versus UCLA. Here's what I would tell you. You know, it's win or lose. I mean, it's a hard game. UCLA is really good. They're top 15 in the country. But the culture experience for our guys and for
it's
everybody.
No-brainer.
I mean, we're never gonna have this other chance again. So no matter what happens on the outcome of the game, it's just gonna be a great opportunity for everybody.
So those 9 days that you're going to be, I'm pretty sure you have the guys structured.
Correct.
But what is that going to look like? I mean, what do you I know you have some things planned for the guys.
This trip, I mean, it's a full-time job, the person that's handling it, just to get it organized. I mean, you got to think about now. I mean, it's not that easy. It's not like you're just going to the Bahamas. The passport, the toughness to even be able to get everything through and the amount of questions to even get into China. And we have two kids in our team who are not U.S. citizens, who weren't born in the U.S. And so they had to go to New York, to Houston. They've had to fly to different embassies in the United States to get certain things. I mean, it's really going through this experience. The amount of work to go into another country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that easy. And so it should be a great trip, but it's a lot of planning. And then you've got to go through, you know, they're forcing you to get vaccinated. I mean, you have to do different things that you're required to do. And there's all kinds of stuff with it. And then when you're there, you know, it's pretty structured, but the opportunities, I mean, we're meeting Jack Ma with all, I forget what it's called, but he's like the Bill Gates of,
Jack Ma,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're meeting him. We're doing some other different things. They're closing down Disneyland over there and letting us in UCLA go.
Oh, so you
Disney.
Got the whole day of
Disneyland. The whole day.
UCLA's going to Disneyland. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. So we're both going to Disneyland and doing that. They're doing a parade for both of us. And they said, it's interesting. They said, you know, that they love basketball,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I mean, you know, Yao Ming's
Wang Zhuzhu, right?
And then Stephon Marbury. They have a statue of Stephon Marbury
there. Hearing that. Yes.
Because he plays for the Shanghai Sharks, and he's a legend. He's an idol. He's like Michael Jordan there in China. And so it's really, really interesting.
You notice, Hugh, he didn't say, I'm going to recruit. He left that little part
well,
out.
Well, you know what? He probably is.
We'll look for the next Yao Ming, but now going through the it's not that easy to get people from China to the United States and vice versa, United States to China. It's a lot of paperwork. But if we find a 7-footer out there, our next Yao Ming, we'll try to convince him to come.
You know what, Coach, speaking of not that easy, I remember a few months ago when Houston had their tragedy.
Yep.
You know, you and a bunch of coaches stepped up, and you sent some gear. And I remember you sending that. And then the NCAA said, no.
Right.
Can't do that. Whatever happened with that? Because that was one of those stories that you saw, and then you didn't see what the outcome was.
Well, what just for the listeners, so what happened was Kelvin Sampson, who's the head coach at University of Houston men's basketball, when the hurricane went through there, he says, how can we help? Because obviously everyone got displaced down there. He said, can all the coaches, he just tweeted something out of all the, you know, Division I teams or just, you know, college basketball teams, send gear to the University of Houston, and he'll just get it to the people that need it. Well, technically, you can't give gear to high school prospects, if that makes sense. And so there was an NCAA, they had to put a stop to it, but then they got a waiver and they cleared it because they got some backlash and they allowed it.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
They ended up changing for the good of it. And they did allow these exhibition games, an extra exhibition game, which we played just the other day for Georgia State, that allowed any money raised went to the hurricane relief.
Which was really cool by both you and Ron Hunter.
Yeah.
And so congratulations
And Georgia State's really good. And I knew I said new before we were going in. That was going to be a hard game for us. We weren't ready to play.
Georgia State's going to be a
pretty good team. Well, and we didn't really prepare for it because we're such a young team. And I've said this is in year two of a rebuild. I actually think this year is harder than last year. And I say that because we're younger. Mm-hmm. You know, last year, at least, I think we're more talented in areas, but we're just younger. And when you're relying on four freshmen to play, I mean, the transition from high school to this level, I mean, it's just going to take time and game experience and kind of get punched in the nose a few times to say, okay, now I understand. I can't just do what I did in high school and expect to get the same results in college.
Yeah, not only that, Coach, you're talking about some young cats that are adjusting to having a lot of free time.
Absolutely.
Being on campus with a lot of pitfalls, if you will, that are on campus.
Well, and you'd also think about you know, in high school, you know how it is. You have homework you turn in. You have this. You have everything's got here. Like you might have just two tests the entire semester, and that's it for a class. I mean, it's a different deal. Now we obviously have the structure and the discipline with them, but it is a major adjustment. And I've always said to people, the biggest change or gain that people make is between their freshman and sophomore year. Because now they know what they have to what they expect, what they got to do. They have a better understanding of it. Most freshmen most freshmen just don't get it, and it's hard. You can say it all you want, but the very elite, special ones that can maybe get away with it are the one and dones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just those are those are the one percenters. Most of everyone is going to take a – there's going to be just a transition year, and that's just part of it as a freshman.
Josh Pastner, head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, in studio with us this morning with John and Hugh. I'm going to ask you two things, two favors, okay? Favors before we get into the query. Number one is – stay for another segment?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Number two is – I'm just looking here. It's 9:10 p.m. in Shanghai, okay?
Yep.
So it's 12 hours ahead of us. It's,
correct.
All right, 9:10 p.m. tonight. When you're there – you got to call us.
Yeah.
you got to call us from China.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Are you going to take a picture of the phone? Any calls? Be like, oh, my gosh, he's calling us from China.
No, do it. Because it'll be so cool to hear the stories. Have you ever been?
Well, I've never been. And
you taking your wife, by the way?
My wife is coming. But the interesting part is how do we do the sleep? How do you adjust? I mean, so
that's going to be tough.
That's the biggest thing, because it's not like it's 4 hours. You just mentioned it's a 12-hour time difference. And so how do we do that? I've never done this. The great thing about Georgia Tech, it's the Institute of Technology. So we've checked with some people within our area that are sleep experts, and they've tried to give us the best they can. But, you know, there's really, you know, you're going to have to just manage with it.
Yeah, you're right, because
you have to force yourself to stay up during the plane.
Because you'd be going to bed in like 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, coach.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
No, that's
not
I know.
That's a long flight.
It's, you know, going to be 4:30 in the morning. Somebody's going to go, when's dinner?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the deal. It's a different deal.
All right. Josh Pastner going to stay with us. And by the way, you know, when you get to Shanghai, the first meal they have is like McDonald's.
Yeah, well, they say Shanghai is very Americanized. It's like New York.
Right.
You know, that's what they all say. So.
Play it safe. Play it safe.
Yeah, there you go. You're right.
We'll talk a little bit of basketball. We're going to get his insights into the ACC and to his team. We'll talk basketball with Josh Pastner. It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Behind the Game from the Kia Studios on this Wednesday. Wednesday that's full of big stories with, the college football, with Georgia being ranked number one, the Falcons having competition Wednesday, and we are glad, very glad here to be starting to talk about college basketball, which, since it's November, begins this month, and Georgia Tech head coach Josh Pastner joining us for another segment live here in the studio.
Coach Pastner, how was trick-or-treating in your house last night? Did you trick-or-treat? Did you give out candy? What did you do?
You know what? My wife took the kids, and I sat at the house. My littlest daughter, her and I just stayed there, and so when the kids came, I would give candy, and my little daughter would put some things in there. So I kind of just did that. But it was interesting that, you know, a lot of the kids knew that I was a Georgia Tech coach, and the amount of kids in there would come up to me and go, "Go Dogs, go Dogs!" You know, and every time I did that, you know what I did? I gave them hard candy. And then the ones that says "Go Tech," I gave them chocolate. So
speaking of that, Coach, because we had a little candy poll. What kind of candy did you give out last night? And did you give out full candy bars? Or did you give out them little fun size candy bars?
You know what? I gave out the fun size, but see, what happened was I was running out because I started just giving people like four of them at a time. I kept going back in my house just looking for things because I didn't want to be the guy. I remember when I was trick or treating and
going out of candy.
Or you'd go there in someone's house and they would
give you a ticket suddenly to the Proctor game.
So yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I was like finding crackers and like goldfish and bags because I was running out, but. It was all based on who you rooted for, so it was based on what the candy you got.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Now, last season you had a long season.
Yep.
Went deep into the NIT tournament. How was your offseason, and what did you do to unwind from that?
You know what? The difference between pro, at least for pro basketball and college, there's really no offseason because once you're done, you're right into recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Like whereas in the NBA, once you're done, there is no recruiting. I mean, you might get ready for the draft, but there's just separation. You really don't have that in college. You're right back into it because you've got to now focus on spring recruiting and summer recruiting and then summer access. You're now allowed to work with the guys during the summer, so for a limited amount of time. And so, you know, the NCAA has a window in the end of May where they call it a dead period for men's college basketball, where there can't be any recruiting on campus or you can't go off campus. So you have about a 10-day period there where you can be able to get away or do something. But other than that, there's just no – you're on.
Tech head coach Josh Pastner with John and Hugh. All right, let's talk just a little bit about basketball. You had as Hugh mentioned, a great run to the NIT championship game last year. Surprising run even to you, right?
Absolutely.
So what can fans expect out of this team? You mentioned you're young. What are your expectations? Tell us a couple of your star players and what you expect out of this team.
Well, here's how I see our team. I see our team very similar to what we were last year, that I think will probably be a little rocky at the start, you know, in the November-December realm. And I think it's going to take us that time to kind of get in sync, because we are not an experienced team. We might be a little more talented with some areas, but we're just not as experienced. And you know, we lost seniors. I mean, and even though we might have brought in some freshmen who are, you know, are more talented, you cannot put a premium on experience on someone who's 18 compared to 23 years of age. I mean, in college, especially in college. And so what I think, how I foresee it and the vision I see is that it could be a little up and down in November, December, but sort of like what we did last year when we got to ACC play, we really started to peak and really started to play better. And then that's when we went on our run. And so and that's what I think we'll end up doing this year. Now, we've got to do the best we can to win. You know, for us to get to the tournament, the NCAA tournament, you're going to have to win some road games in ACC play. You're going to have to do that. You have a lot of opportunities. You're going to have to steal some on the road in order to do that. But I think there's going to be a learning curve for us in November and early December until we can kind of get those freshmen understanding. You know, and it was no different than Josh Okogie. You know, he had some games early in the last year. He played well, and then a couple games he wasn't really good. It wasn't until he got really to ACC play where he really started taking off, because it just took him 2 months to understand what college basketball is about. And it's going to be the same thing for our young guys this year.
You know, it's funny, Coach, because I always hear coaches talk about that window of when guys start to take off.
Yeah.
Is that more the coaching aspect of just getting acclimated to your style and just getting, just getting familiar with what you want them to do? Or is that the teaching side?
Well, it's a teaching side, because we're spending the time right now, like we can't move past something when we haven't conquered, you know, option A. And option A is like basic elementary stuff for a lot of our guys. And so, because that's part of the teaching and process and learning. If they were way past A, they probably wouldn't be at Georgia Tech. They would already be at Kentucky or Duke or North Carolina. But mm-hmm. you know, that's part of what we have to be. We have to be a perfect, and I've told, for our program to have success, me and my assistants, we've got to be perfect on our evaluation and development. And that means we've got to evaluate properly and then develop. But with that, it's going to take some time. We're not going to get the ready-made guy coming in as a freshman that can just instantly put us on their back and is going to be one and done. We're not at that stage right now. Maybe down the road, but right now we're not signing those guys. So with that, the guys that we're getting, it's trying to be so basic with the fundamentals so we can master that. Because what I don't want us to do is just be average at 20 things. I'd rather just be really good at about 3 or 4 things, focus on those, conquer those, and that will allow us to hopefully get better as we get into ACC play.
Tech coach Josh Pastner, I had to refresh my memory. I mean, I knew Duke was number one, but I wanted to refresh my memory on the preseason poll. North Carolina at 9, Miami at 12, Notre Dame at 14, Louisville at 16. Of course, we're not really sure what we're going to get out of Louisville because
not a whole lot.
Well, yeah. They still got their – even though they lost their coach, they still got the same players. I mean, they are still loaded. I mean, they've got really good players. You know, but I will say Rick Pitino, I thought, was the best coach in the game. Regardless whether you agree or disagree about anything else, he was the best coach in the game, mm-hmm. you know, and he was really, really good.
Just
really
says good. Another year for the ACC to be killer good.
Well, it's loaded. I mean, it's just loaded. And that's where it makes it tough is the upper tiers. You just mentioned all those teams. No one's coming down to us. We have to catch them. And so, I mean, like Virginia Tech's really good, and Florida State's going to be good again, and Virginia's always good. And, I mean, there's just a lot of good teams in the league.
And Syracuse.
I mean, you don't even listen. I mean, they're loaded. And so it's a hard league. But what I would tell you is games are decided 4 points or less. So many of the games are close games. We've spent a lot of time on time and score situations, if that makes sense. 2 minutes on the clock, we're down 6. 1:10 on the clock, we're up 3. 44 seconds on the clock, we're down 2. Ball on the side, out of bounds. We've tried so many time and score situations to help prepare the best that we've been able to, so when we're in these situations, we can come out with some wins in late game situations.
So, Coach, how often do you get a chance to I know you sound like you're real busy just getting your guys
yep.
ready, but how often do you get an opportunity to look at other teams in the ACC just to see what they're doing and how they play in their style?
You know what? I'm really big on preparation, really big on scouting. I think we have to. It's really big for our staff and for us to be organized, because we have to try to find some things to give us an advantage. But for example, like we played a private scrimmage versus Auburn. We didn't prepare for that. We played Georgia State. We didn't do any film or prepare for that. We're playing Faulkner tomorrow. We're not preparing for that. Why? It's because they don't count on the schedule, and we can't give away practice time worrying about another team right now. Now, when we get to UCLA because it counts, we've got to now start putting in game planning, everything else. For right now, we've got to focus on Georgia Tech and what do we've got to get better. As we get into the middle of next week, like you're getting to Wednesday, Thursday, now you've got to put putting in a game plan of what you're going to try to do to beat UCLA. And that's how we do from that point forward. In the short term now, we don't have time to give away a day to start worrying about somebody else because we have so much to cover about our own selves. Mm-hmm. And so we watch a lot of film on the opponent, but especially when it's more in the countable time when it really goes on your win-loss record.
Okay.
It's going to be a fascinating season, again, of course, with Georgia Tech, as you guys get ready for the ACC play in the beginning of your year and going to UCLA. And again, you're going to be going to China for 9 days, which is just so cool, Coach.
Yeah.
And my dad just actually got back from China. He for his birthday, he always wanted to go see the Terracotta Warriors, so he did. And so I was talking to him about he gets to go see the Terracotta Warriors, and they went to Beijing and Shanghai and Hong Kong and blah, blah, blah.
Did he enjoy it?
Yeah, he loved it. I said, so what was the biggest takeaway? And I didn't expect this. He said, the biggest takeaway is no matter what you think of Chinese food in the United States, Chinese food in China is so much better.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, okay.
Yeah. You know what? And it's interesting because they went through all the food things, what you can and can't, and because there are some different standards with the water and the way the vegetables and I don't know. I mean, how much you don't know. So you try to be as safe as you can with all that. But I've had more people who have gone to China and they've all told how much they've loved it and they've loved the experience and it's a once in a lifetime deal. I mean, just like with your father.
You have to take pictures, Coach. I'm not telling you where to go and where to eat.
Yep.
But the live, like when they do the squid and they put it over, they put the little sauce on it and stuff. You have to, and it's still moving.
I'll take a picture, but I'm not eating that. Me nor the players are eating that.
No,
that's for sure.
Take a picture. And if you're really living on the edge, you got to take the one where they wrap the squid around the chopsticks and then eat it.
Yeah.
Put the soy sauce on it and then you eat it. That's when you're really living on the edge.
The people that do that, they're the ones that bungee jump. They jump out of airplanes. There's no way I'm doing that one. I'll stay with just to make sure,
as
burgers and fries. Stay about it. And if the burger, how do you want it cooked? Extremely well done. Kill it. Make sure it's dead. Make sure it's dead. You know what I mean?
Is it dead? I think so.
Yeah,
it looks dead to me.
Yeah.
Josh, Pastor, Head Coach of Georgia Tech, thank you very much for
taking
time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks
for
having me on. Both of you. Appreciate it very
great
much.
Trip to China.
Thanks, gentlemen.
I was only half kidding about calling us, though.
We'll get with my SID here, Mike Stamos, and we'll call you.
Mike Stamos, do appreciate you doing that. Yeah, yeah, because it would be just too cool.
Yeah.
All right, as we continue, we'll get a little Wendy Zone action here as we get ready for our competition Wednesday in Flowery Branch. It's all ahead with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up! It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So I have a couple of stories that are not going to be very sports related, but I want to start with one sports related story because the season is coming to an end with candy corn. And before it does, Washington State head coach Mike Leach offered his thoughts on candy corn, and I really think he just captured what everybody who dislikes candy corn wants to say.
Do you have an opinion on
I've never liked candy. I think it's just awful. I think candy corn's awful. It's like fruitcake. There's a reason they only serve fruitcake once a year because it's awful. There's a reason they only serve mint juleps once a year because they're awful. And there's a reason they only serve candy corn once a year, because it's awful. Now, that does beg the question why they serve it at all. But anyway, that's my opinion.
When was your last encounter with candy corn?
Sometime when I was a kid, and you eat it by the handfuls because that's all that's left, and you get sick.
Yes, and you get sick.
Yeah, candy corn is terrible.
And if you gave out thing left,
if you gave out candy corn last night, you need to be slapped across the lips.
Absolutely,
giving it to them poor kids.
I just felt like Mike Leach just said it in this perfectly monotone voice on how we all feel about candy corn. So I felt like since Halloween is officially over, that was brilliant.
Did you hear him rip the reporter yesterday?
I didn't. No.
A reporter called him out for being 40 minutes late to his
classic
press conference.
Oh, we need to find that.
And then, just to sum it up, because I know you got other stories, but then the reporter, the exact same reporter, asked a question that Mike Leach had answered earlier in the press conference call thing.
Mm.
And Mike Leach goes, "Oh well, maybe you should pay attention."
Did you find it by any chance?
almost. Hang on.
Right, but so, Leach rips into him in a
nice way. Yeah.
In a non-Nick Saban way.
Right, non-Nick Saban.
In Mike a Mike Leach way.
Mike Leach is maybe the most quotable coach in the entire nation.
He's pretty funny.
He's
pretty funny.
Yeah, he is definitely one of the most quotable. He's such an interesting guy. And actually a fairly successful coach, in his days at Texas Tech and at Washington State.
And I did find the audio.
So now let's set this up. What this is a news conference yesterday, and a reporter is about to call Mike Leach out for being late. And listen to what happens.
And it sounds like the reporter is on a conference call, so bear with the first part of the question.
I'm curious about something. I realize you're a very busy man, first of all, but was there any particular reason this telephone got started nearly 40 minutes late?
Yeah, because I had other obligations, and I got here 40 minutes late, so... fortune's a war. We're way up north here, and this is a tough place, and so that's the way it happens sometimes. But I hope you feel better accommodated next time.
Okay. I'm curious about have you decided who your starting quarterback is going to be this coming week?
Well, my. I wasn't 40 minutes late. It sounds like you may have been 40 minutes late. That was the first question I answered in this press conference.
I've been listening, trying to listen very carefully. Did you announce who your quarterback is going to be?
Yes, I did. The very first question, the press conference, and you can go back and review it on the computer.
Hey, in your face. In your face.
Hey, where were you 40 minutes late?
Drop.
Well, because it takes a while. I'm sorry, I'm late. Hey, so who is it?
Man, did he? When he set him up, he knew he had him. My.
Don't mess with the pirate.
My. He's going to be my favorite coach now, just because
he's the
of that.
Pirate.
And because of his hatred for candy corn like we all love. Well, I want to ask you guys this question, because if this was a punishment for this act, I'm wondering if you guys would never do this. So a 30-year-old guy named Darren Young from Maui, Hawaii, he and his girlfriend broke up earlier this year, and she wound up getting a protection order against him back in February. So in May, he violated the order by texting her 144 times with nasty messages. He was in court this past Friday, and the judge came up with this punishment for him. It wasn't jail time. He was sentenced to having to write 144 nice things to his ex-girlfriend, one for every nasty thing he said. Plus a few fines in community service. But could you find 144 nice things to say to your ex?
Which one?
Exactly.
You had that.
Not the first one.
144?
I could find 144. One for every individual nasty text message.
144? I think your right toe is beautiful. I think your left toe is beautiful. I think that, you would have to just toes and fingers.
It would double up. It would definitely double up.
John just turned into Rex Ryan all of a sudden.
Well, I was just thinking, what would you have to, 144? That would be tough.
I don't think I'd say 100.
It would be hard for me to write 144 things that I love about my wife. I love my wife. It's 144.
144 for every nasty message you send. I really think that should be a life policy.
I don't say I say that many nice things in a six-month span to anybody.
I know. So this would be equally as difficult to you. So for every nasty thing you ever say, Bo, what if you had to say one nice thing?
Then I guess I would just stop talking.
Hey, let's do that. Can we try this?
That might not be a bad policy.
I know.
Now you have to say something nice, Wendy, because that was mean.
Bo, thank you for being a great friend.
Well, see, now, there you go.
Aww.
Wendy, you've been a great addition to the show.
See, that's all sweet.
Yeah, right?
All nice.
Bo?
Next story.
Well, this is going to be one, because if you want a beer that's absurdly expensive and illegal in most of the South, then today's going to be your day.
Wait a second. Beer illegal? Beer?
Illegal beer, and I'm going to tell you why. Samuel Adams just announced they're making a special craft beer. It's called Utopias. It's 56 proof, which makes it just as potent as a lot of hard alcohol. So a bottle's going to cost you, though, $199. They're only making 13,000 bottles. It's not going to be available, however, in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Mississippi, Montana, New Hampshire, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Vermont, and Washington. But you know what state's really close to here that's not on this list? Tennessee, Florida. So if you want this 56-proof $199 Sam Adams craft beer, you can go to those places to find it.
Arkansas I get because you can't compete with the stills, but, man, the rest of them.
I have a bottle.
You have a bottle of the salmon?
I've had it for a while. I've never opened it.
Wow.
Of this
stuff? That he signed for me.
Oh, really?
Sam Adams, yeah.
Is it 56
I forgot what year
proof?
It is. Yes.
Whew.
I forgot what year it is, though, because it comes in like a little – the bottle looks like a vat that you brew beer in.
Really?
Yes. I have a bottle.
Will you take a picture of it? I want to see it.
Yeah, it's in storage, but I still have it. But
you should buy a new bottle.
Nah.
Let's test it out.
I'm raiding your storage. You got some things in your storage that I want, like Jordans.
Yeah, I got some Jordans in there.
Cologne.
Cologne? In storage?
No, I don't wear cologne no more because I wear them all from the West End.
Rick and John coming up top of the hour as we continue on this Competition Wednesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.